I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And I keep falling over and over, Lord, over and over and over again. He gets sweeter as the day. Oh, oh, what a love between my Lord. I keep on falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Will you say praise the Lord on this evening? Certainly it's a blessing to see you. God has blessed us once again to come out and to serve him in spirit and in truth. We want to thank the elders here and the minister, Brother Carter, for this grand opportunity to come and speak to God's people. We appreciate you inviting us, and we pray and hope that we can say something that will encourage you in this great gospel meeting. Good to see the Brother John Thomas. I know he did a great job on yesterday, very powerful preacher. We appreciate him. I did want to ask Colonial Village, if you don't mind standing. Just Colonial Village, would you please stand, those who are here? All right, needed to see. It's always a good thing when you can encourage your own folks to come out. Will you say amen? Good to see those who are from Sheldon Heights, my other family. Good to see you also, and it's just good to see the church as a whole. God bless you and God keep you. Good to see, have my wife here with me this evening. I want all you singles brothers to know that that's my wife. For 34 years down there? The time I used to have a little hair on my head, but, you know, things happen. My wife is a part of she used to be a Williams. And my mother-in-law, Susie Williams, is here. Mother Williams, raise your hand up. There's my mother-in-law there. So happy. Thank you for being with us on this evening. We appreciate you and love you very dearly. I know my father-in-law, before he made his transition, he was an elder here, Brother William, Wilbert Williams. And you all knew Brother Williams, I'm sure, and he's a great man. And he has certainly been a great blessing in my life. And it's just been a wonderful thing being in the Williams family. And if you have not tasted my mother-in-law's sweet potato pie, you need to talk to her. So we are so grateful for her and for this family. Again, I'm grateful the fact of being here, and I want you to know that this theme is very, very dear and important to me. Now, I'm not going to be very long. I see you all don't have a clock around here any place. That's a good thing. Lord, have mercy. I love that. I'm not going to be like the young man that stood up in front of the church and he told the church, he says, I'm going to keep on preaching until somebody get up and walk and give their life to the Lord. And and 30 minutes went by, and he was still pouring it on. 40 minutes went by. He said, I'm not going to get up until somebody, and 45 minutes went by, an hour just about, and somebody, a little old lady, got up, and she came and restored her life to the Lord. And you know how the preacher go in the back, and he shake folks' hand, and he wanted to know what was it that he said that caused her to come forth. I guess he wanted to use that again. And she looked at him. She said, son, my mule died this morning. And every time I look in your face, it reminds me of that mule. So I know y'all don't have no mules around here. Praise the Lord. I know you don't have any mules, but God bless you. The theme suggests something that's very important. It says, our God is alive. It's talking about God living, being alive. Now remember, God is someone that you can't see physically. And we're talking about him being alive.
Here's someone you pray to constantly. As a matter of fact, Satan have already put you on his hit list because you pray too much. You study too much. You study about a God that you have never seen. You pray to a God that you have never seen physically. You talk about a God and you're interested in converting people to a God that you've never seen yourself. You're trying to convince someone, as a matter of fact, you're singing about a God that you have never seen. There must be some reason. There must be something that motivates us. You come to church Sunday after Sunday. You give. You bring your children. You get excited. You even have a sense of joy of someone, something that you have never seen. As a matter of fact, some folks think of God as like Santa Claus, a figment of our imagination. Some see him as a myth, someone that we have just come up with, someone that we have imagined in our heart or in our mind. Some say that he's just someone to keep us on track. You talk about a God, you praise a God that you've never seen. You see, the topic suggests something personal. The topic suggests that the God that you serve must be personal. See, is our God is alive. It suggests two things, faith and experience. In other words, I have faith that God exists. I may not be able to prove every aspect of God or his deity. I mean, I can look at the stars. I can look at the universe, and I can even look at the human body, the DNA, and the billions and billions of DNA that our bodies consist of. One atheist writer, atheist debater, who was a cell professional, if you will. He studied the human DNA and came to the conclusion that there had to be a power, an intelligence higher than mankind. No one can put that together. It's based on faith. And what moved me, what helped me, what had me constantly talking and praying to God is not only is it based on my faith, but I find myself experiencing the power of God in my life. Now, I don't have to quote older preachers anymore. I used to have to quote them. I used to have to say what they said. But now I know the Lord for myself. I've experienced him. And not only that, I experience him on a daily basis. He is not absent from your life. He makes sure that you know that he is present. It's based on the fact if you have a relationship with him. It is based on experience. You can talk about him all day, but what has he done lately? What is he doing? Are you able to look in your rear view mirror and see the works of God? See how he has delivered you. See how he has helped you. See how he has, throughout the years, have lifted you, guided you, watched over your family, watched over your children, watched over your grandchildren. Do you and can you identify him actively involved in your life? When you are, you can come to the same conclusions that Daniel came to. Daniel's faith was so great in God because he experienced God. See, Daniel's faith in God was so strong and mighty because God had demonstrated his power in his presence. He knew that God was not a figment of his imagination. He knew that God was not like a Santa Claus he was not a myth. But he was the true God. What moves us to serve him? It's when you know him. What moves you not to worry about your problems so much and your situations that you're going through? It's when you know him. What moves you that even when you get sick, you still know that God is a healer? You still know that miracles have not ceased. Now the apostolic miracles that God had empowered them with, that has ceased. But miracles from God directly have not ceased. How dare Satan challenge you? How dare he approach you? You are a child of God. There's nothing that can bind you. There's nothing that God has given permission. Only when I give permission, only when I begin to say that I can't do this and I can't do that, I can't move forward because I got these problems, I got this burden on me. But God didn't. Where did you get that from? Does not the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me? Is your God truly alive? What is it that motivates you? See, there's a difference between motivation and inspiration. Inspiration comes from God. Motivation comes from external stuff. Help me, somebody. Watch this. Watch Daniel. Daniel, and we don't have time to tell the whole story about Daniel. But here's what happened to Daniel. Daniel was being set up. You know what being set up is? See, Daniel had a God. Daniel knew God so well that Daniel was not serving man, even though Daniel was in a semi-bondage. I'm going to tell you where he was. See, his circumstances was not as conducive. He did not have the actual freedom that people would have. But that didn't deter him from serving God. As a matter of fact, he conducted himself as a child of God. He trusted God. He didn't get angry at God because of his circumstances. Watch Daniel. And so what happened is that the king had saw the integrity of Daniel. There was something that the king saw in Daniel. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and as a result, glorify your Father, not you. Help us, Jesus. That's why some folks don't get very far if somebody don't pat them on the back. Help me, Lord. Well, you know the Lord, y'all don't mind me coming. Can I come down? Oh, good, okay. Help me, Jesus. What happened is that he says to glorify God. But they need to see something. Yeah. Believe it or not, people see your conduct. Yes, sir. They see your behavior. They see your walk. They see your conversation. And so that's why sometimes it takes God a little bit longer. Yeah. When you ask for certain things, sometimes he must prepare you to get to where he wants you to be or prepare you to answer your prayer, if that was right English. Prepare you. Uh-huh. Some of the very things that you're facing now, it's in preparation. And you know, many folks don't realize that when you suffer greatly, sometimes it's because God is getting you ready for something greater or a place greater than where you were. And like Joseph went through all kind of stuff. But God was getting him prepared for kingdomship. Or rather, God was preparing him to have one of the most important and imperative positions than anyone else. He was next to the king. In every situation, God had him in jail, getting him ready, helping him to build the right kind of character that when he get there, he'll be able to handle it. He won't just be praying to God, asking him for a promotion and not ready for the promote. Huh? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Because we'll pray to God for something, and then sometime we'll get what we pray for and say, Lord, you know what? I didn't know it was going to be all this. Then we'll have to come to the church and say, church, y'all pray for me because I need strength. This is driving me crazy. That's why the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, it says, after you have suffered a while, after you've gone through some stuff, after, watch this, after you have experienced me, I make you settle. I settle you. I establish you. I make you perfect or complete. But that's after. That's after you've gone through some things. So here we find Daniel. Here we find Daniel in a situation where there was great jealousy. Anybody ever been jealous of you? He had what's called haters around. You know what a hater is? Haters. And sometimes haters are elevators. Help me, Jesus. They ought to elevate you. They ought to and he had them. See, because the king wanted to put him over the princes, the princesses, if you will, and the presidents of his kingdom. It's like a cabinet, a political cabinet. He wanted to place him over all of them. And they had to figure out a way, watch this, to attack him. They could not get to his character. They could not find any fault in him. They looked high and low. This was a man that had faith in God. They tried to find something on him, something that they could accuse him of. They tried to look, and it's just like what Satan does. He tried to find your weakest area. He tried to find not where the area that you fortified, not the area that you're strong in, but he look around you, he search you, and he, how can I get to her attitude? That attitude that she has never fixed. How can I bring out some of those feelings, that those things that she's been holding, that he's been holding in his heart? How can I get to him? How can I get to her? He says it like a roaring lion, and he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So now you find Daniel. They said, we can't find anything on Daniel. What can we do? Well, what they said is, what we can do, we can, the only way, it has to be something that is contradictory to his God. Because we can't find anything on. It's not like politics. It sounds like it, doesn't it? Help me. I'm not going to say too much about that. Some of y'all might be Republicans. I don't know, Democrat, whatever you might be. I'm going to be cool. But what can I do? And that many times, see, that's what happened with us. Sometimes you don't know the very person that you might not be able to stand. I can't stand. They pushed the wrong buttons. Maybe the very person that need to be in your life to take you to the another level, or to clean some things out of you. Because God is molding you, and he's making you. And he said, if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. So Daniel find that, and the king really liked Daniel, really looked up to him. And these folks were trying to set him up. They said, we need to find something on him. So what did they do? They went to the king and they blessed the king. They said, we put together a decree that if anybody pray or do anything, ask their God for anything, for the next 30 days, next 30 days, they would be executed, in essence. No one should do that. And when the Persian and the Mede decree was enacted, it could not be changed. That's the law. If the king changed it, he would no longer be king. He himself could be executed. And so what they knew about Daniel, because see, some people know you're kind. Some people know that you are a child of God. They'll say stuff like, I know you go to church. And they take it. They look for a way they take advantage of you. They'll borrow money from you and know you're not going to get mad if you. I don't have no place to duck. I'm down here. Don't throw nothing at me. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And so what happened is that they found a way to make something that was evil. I mean, their motive, they had ulterior motives. Ulterior motive, like Judas had ulterior motive when he said, you know what, this woman don't need to be wasting all of this oil on Jesus' feet. He wanted more money in the money bag. Ulterior motives. I don't have time to deal with that, but that was his objective. And that's what they were doing in Daniel's case. They said, well, King, they knew Daniel was a praying man. Daniel heard about the decree and then the king signed it without thinking. And he regretted it, as a matter of fact. He regretted it because he liked Daniel. He was about to place Daniel in a high position. Watch every time you get serious. Watch when you start really studying God's word. I'm not talking about reading it. I'm talking about studying. I'm talking about being able to hear God through the power of his word. I'm talking about having God to answer your doubt, your fears, your challenges through the power of studying his word. Watch what Satan does. He don't mind us coming to church. Just don't get serious. He don't mind us talking, saying a little bit about Jesus. Just don't know what you're talking about, really. Don't really know him. And so this is what was happening to Daniel. And so they said, well, they knew he was a praying man. So what we should do, this is contrary. Then they see that then Daniel, they evidently they were spying on Daniel. They were watching him. That's what they were watching him because they knew he was a religious man. And then so what happened is that they saw him. When Daniel heard about it, Daniel prayed three times a day. He's a praying man. Three times, not one time. He didn't say those prayers, you know, at dinner. Come on, help me somebody. At dinner, thank you for this meal that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our body in Jesus' name, amen. Or that night prayer that we pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to. And sometimes folks fall asleep in the middle of that one. Daniel prayed. When you know the urgency of a situation, it brings you to your knees. See, the thing about Daniel, why he had favor with God, is because before the urgency, he was already doing that and he never stopped. So when he went into the lion's den, I need you to understand that David had the same character when he went, when he was being threatened, when he was in it, and when he came out of it. The same character. Always trusting God. It was the same person. He was not disgruntled when he went in the lion's den. Lord, why in the world, if I'm praying to you, am I in this den? Am I in this situation? Why me, Lord? I've already been through this. I don't need this experience. I'm too old for this experience now, Lord. You've already sent me through this a long time ago. I learned the lessons from it. You can rest assured that there are challenges and spiritual challenges on every level of your faith. Every level. See, faith have degrees. Do you not know that it has degrees? That's why Jesus said, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can say unto this mountain, be thou removed. You got to understand the power that we have. We have tremendous power that God has given us. That's in us. Every situation that you face, you've already conquered it. It's already you're already victorious. It's just a matter if you believe or not. So Daniel saw, and they went and told the king, and the king regretted having to arrest him. He arrested him, arrested Daniel, and they placed him in the lion's den. The den was sealed with the king's signet. And the king could not sleep. The king was being mentally, if you will, tormented because he liked Daniel. King was struggling. He was not having a good night. Regularly, a king would have entertainment before he goes to bed. Help me, Jesus. He is the king. Kind of like Trump. Have some entertainment. And the king had nothing, and he woke up not that night. He woke up early. And this is what he said to Daniel. And when he came to the den. He cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. It was an urgent situation. He was almost in tears, probably. Daniel. He said, the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God. See, because the king also had experienced the God of Daniel before. See, Daniel had been placed in the furnace. The king knew about Daniel's reputation. And he says, the living God, not the dead God. Or maybe not the furnace. He didn't maybe not experience the furnace, but he experienced some things about Daniel. He knew about Daniel. I just want you to get the chronology right. He knew about Daniel. And that's why he could say that his God was not dead. He was living. And so he says, Daniel. He says to him, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? The God that you serve, the God that you pray to three times a day, the God that has lifted you up, the God that give you guidance, the God that you speak to, that you proclaim. Now, look at this. I don't have time to go through the Hebrew, but the Greek word, when he uses, he put a word in some translations, continually. That means, does God do this often? Will he really, and he's really asking, will he come through for you this time? Because one of the things that some Christians do, they're not sure sometime if God is going to come through for them. You may have lived a kind of life that you think that God has totally closed off a shut down grace. I told the church Sunday, you are not sinners. Now, you're not perfect neither, but you're not sinners. You've been declared righteous. In other words, that, like John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Now, we sin. Don't get me wrong. But guess what? We have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. In other words, Jesus, who sit in high places next to his Father, seated next to his Father, he still plead our case. He's covered by the blood. Forgive him, Father. And as a matter of fact, we sit next to him spiritually in the church. See, and I better give you some Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, well, let's go with Ephesians chapter 1 first and verse number 16. Around about verse 16. Where Jesus, after his death and resurrection, the Bible says he has been risen and now he's sitting next to his Father. And it uses the term in heavenly places. This is a spiritual level. In heavenly places. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, it says when you are baptized, you are risen and you sit next to him in high places, same place, spiritually. That means you have a relationship. He's in you. He is a part of you. And Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places. What it means is that being in Christ Jesus, we have access to all spiritual blessings. You follow me? So what happened now? Going back to Daniel, now he's in the lion's den. Now you got to think about this for a moment, because now the circumstances has changed. They're no more like they used to be. Some of your greatest fears, his greatest fears perhaps, have come into fruition. Now he's in the den. Now watch this. He's in a position, in a condition that he can do nothing about it. He can't fight the lions. He can't whoop the lions. He has no weapons. And when they put someone, if you look at the history of their execution, are kind of at the text itself, it'll let you know that there was not one or two lions. Because when the families were put in there, the Bible says that the lions ripped them up, broke their bones, all of them, when the families. So the circumstances has changed. What do you do? What do you become when you're in the midst of your storm? Sometimes it's not what you go through that makes a real difference. It's what you become as a result of what you're going through. You follow me? What do you become in the midst? And let me ask you this. Do you really see God as being alive? Do you really see him as being a deliverer? Can you look back? Some of us need to write down the times that God has really come through for us, because we have the tendency to forget. And that's why Peter said, and in John, they'll use the term, I told you once, but I say unto you again, or do you remember? I told you. So here is the man in the midst of it now. In the midst of the situation. It was Jesus that spoke to the waters and said, wave, be calm. As if the waves had ears. When Jesus speak with authority. And he speak in our life. He speak in the life of his children. Now as we bring this thing to a conclusion, watch what else happened. Daniel is now in the lion's den. What do you think he's doing? You think he's playing cards? What do you think he's doing? He's doing what he's always done. He's still praying. And like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to be placed in the fiery furnace, they came to the conclusion that, listen, I know God can deliver me. I know God can get me out of this. We already know that. And if he deliver us, he deliver us. We're going to praise his name. But they said, but also if he decide to let us be consumed in this flame, we're not serving you, King. We're not bowing down to you. See, and what they did and what Daniel did really, I mean, in Daniel's case, in this situation, Daniel was praising God and giving him glory and praising him for the victory in his life. It's just like in the book of, what's that, Chronicles, when Israel was Jehoshaphat in Chronicles chapter 20, 1 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was being attacked by three nations. They had built a coalition to attack the children of Judah. And what happened is that Jehoshaphat, the king, when he found out about it, Jehoshaphat went to God and prayed. And he prayed to God. He said, God, we were told by our forefathers that if anything, in essence, if anything bad happened to us, that we need to come before the temple and pray to you. And that's what we're doing. Our children and everybody. These people are threatening us. They have the audacity. And Joseph was not calling God into question. I mean, Jehoshaphat was not calling him into question. If you read that, he was not questioning God. He was really saying the audacity that they have to attack your children. God sent an angel to a prophet, Jehoshaphat. I think that's Jehoshaphat. Look it up. Read the whole chapter. You'll see. And he sent him, and he said to Jehoshaphat and to all Judah, he says, now listen, the battle is not yours. It belonged to the Lord. Sometimes God wants to show you how he fight. Help me, Jesus. Sometimes he wants you to be able to quote, when God is for me, who can be against me? Sometimes he wants you to say that we are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Sometimes he wants you to say, I've been through this before. God delivered me once and God can deliver me again. But what the children of Israel did, the prophet said, now you need to go on down. They're right now, they're at Ziz, and you need to set yourself. You need to see the salvation of the Lord. He says, set yourself. He says, now watch what happened. He says, now you go down there. You don't need to fight, but you need to show up. Don't stay in the bed. Don't be praying to God, and you don't want to go out and fill no applications for no job. I better duck on that. Huh? Don't be praying and stuff, and you don't do nothing about it. He says, come down and see. And when they went down, and even before, we find they praised God. They were praising God. They were calling those things that were not as though they were. They started praising God for the victory. Only because they took God at his word. They believed him. Do you believe him this evening? Do you believe him? Do you believe that God can really win souls through you? Do you believe that your life is a victory story? It's already set up. He says, what's that? In Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, he says, trust in God. Trust in God. He says, if you do, you can move mountains. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you that when ye pray, believe that ye received it, and you shall have it. In other words, believe that God have already blessed you and act like it. The bills are heavy, act like they're paid off. But what it teaches you is how to budget your money. You're looking to get married? Well, go look at some wedding dresses. Go look at some rings. If that's what you're looking for, that's what he's telling us. Oh, Lord, I'm going in. Did y'all just hang on there one more, a little longer? That's what that's the power of believing that God is alive. Stop faking it. Stop faking. He says, even if you give to me, he says, I'll give back, pressed down, good measure, shaken over. Let me just say this, and I'm not picking, but the reason why some folks have financial problems is because they have not learned how to give. You can't put God at the bottom of the list. Put God at the top. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then you'll see how he'll bless you to pay the rest off. Say amen when you can. I'm getting ready in. Here we find Daniel in the den. And Daniel was praying to God. Never stopped. Same person. Then the king yelled in and said, Daniel, are you all right? And Daniel said, yes, king. Blessed be the king. Hallelujah. I would have been, oh, king, I'm still here. It's over. He's in the den with ferocious lions. Have you seen the paw of a lion? How big they are? Just the paw. Well, go to the zoo, take a look at them. I open up the internet. It's frightening even having them next to you. And in the morning, Daniel said something. He said, the God have sent something. You remember what that was? He sent an angel to protect me. He said that God has protected me. It's God that has protected. God have caused the lions to have lockjaw. When they looked at me, I was no more meat. What is God doing? He have the ability to speak to animals? He have the ability to communicate with animals? With the wind? With the earth? Do you know what kind of God that you serve? So my conclusion, that's why he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are called according to his purpose. You are within his purpose. Daniel was operating within God's will. You must operate within his will. Will you say amen? Amen. You find him being consistent. You find him being prayerful. you find him realizing and understanding his purpose in the sight of God. I wonder if you realize your purpose, how important you are to God, what you mean to God, how he wants to use you. There's some people in your circle that your elders will never be able to talk to, but you can. And you don't have to know the whole Bible. You can have your Daniel experiences. Maybe not to that extent, but you can have your Daniel experiences. God love you, and he cares. But let me ask you a question. Is your God really alive? Does he have you on hold? Have someone taken his place? You know he's alive. You know he's alive when you're willing. When you're willing to go through the things that you're faced right now on a daily basis. If you're here and you need special prayer in your life, we bid you to come. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you come by hearing the word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God, and then being buried in watery grave of baptism. We call it here, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. We have scripture for that. But if you need special prayer, the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Makes much progress in the sight of God. Sometimes we might need to open up some windows to get that prayer out. Or we can go to our brothers and sisters and ask them to pray for us. You don't have to say what you're going through, but ask God sometime, or ask the church to pray for you. And then expect God to answer. Look for the answer. Look for God's response. When you get up, put it in God's hands, and you'll see, like Daniel, he expected God to come through. But he expected God to come through according to his will, and he did that. So if you're here, you need prayer, we bid you to come. If there's anything that I've said that you may not understand, or maybe I said some things that was close to the Bible but wasn't all the way there where you thought it should be, that's okay. Let me know, and we'll get it right. But I want you to know that the God that I serve is alive. He truly liveth. Not only is he alive, he is able. Will you come now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation?